Hello and welcome to Fatima Today. This show is produced by the World Apostolate of Fatima, USA, Our Lady's Blue Army, and brings topics to you, our viewers, related to the events in the world today. We live in tumultuous times when logic seems to have disappeared and uncertainty hangs over us. Our hope on these programs is to address the issues of the day and find solutions through adherence to the laws of God, especially through the message of Fatima. We ask that you subscribe to this podcast.
Hello and welcome to the show, Fatima Today. I'm David Carollo, the Executive Director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, and we're here in Portugal. We're here at Domus Pachas Fatima Hotel, our hotel retreat center, the hotel retreat center of World Apostolate of Fatima, USA. It's a beautiful place of pilgrimage and conference, and of course, we're trying to want to showcase what we're doing here, and hope you'll join us on one of our many pilgrimages here. My guest today on the show is Carlos Evaristo. Carlos is the director of the Oriana Foundation. I will let him explain a little more about the foundation, its causes. He works very closely, as do all of the members of the foundation, with His Royal Highness Don Duarte, the Braganza, who really is the greatest ambassador of culture, of Portuguese culture, I think, my opinion, to the world. So, Carlos, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So we've worked together for many years. I'd like to talk a little bit about the work of the foundation, its founding, your position in it, and the work you do, again, with His Royal Highness and with other members of not only just royalty, but people throughout who are promoting, to a great degree, the culture, not just the culture of Portugal, but our Catholic culture, many places, some of the benevolent work that's being done, the work that's been done in Africa and such. You can maybe touch on that. And of course, I'd like to talk about the medieval restaurant, which of course we for many years have you know, brought our pilgrimage groups to, and just where things stand today. So tell us a little bit about where everything is today.
Well, the Oriana Foundation was, as you know, created by John Hafford, who was also a founder of the Blue Army. So we're, in a sense, brother organizations. And it was created by John after 25 years at the time. We're now nearing 30 years. The foundation is going to be 30 years old. But it was created on the 25th anniversary of the medieval banquet program. The medieval banquet program was created by John in 1970, and it was created basically to give pilgrims back in a time when there was no internet, information wasn't that readily available and accessible, to give them a history, a religious Catholic history of Portugal on their pilgrimages. So basically, after visiting Portugal and all its sites, pilgrims would travel to the Castle of Orem, which is the Castle of Our Lady of Fatima, because it is the head of the township of the Council of Orem, and Fatima is part of that municipal township. And so it's in essence Our Lady's castle, and John decided in that castle, the Castle of St. Nuno, who was the precursor of Fatima, to create this medieval banquet program where in a medieval ambiance, people would be subjected to the story of the spirits, he called them, of the castle. The spirits being the historic figures of Portugal connected to the castle and who were each responsible for expanding Catholicism throughout Portugal and throughout the world. And so these figures, through a pantomime theater, would come to the guests, to the pilgrims, and tell their story. Or their story would be narrated, and they would come and they would interact with the people there.
Very entertaining, I recall.
Yeah, and we had almost 4 million people come to see this program since 1970, And in 1995, John decided that he wanted a form of perpetuating this this mission that the medieval restaurant had to spread the history of Portugal in the light of the Fatima message. And that is, in essence, the underlining theme of the foundation is to tell the story of Portugal in the light of the Fatima message.
Yeah.
And so from the medieval restaurant, which we still operate, we went on to other paths as well. The foundation is involved in film, in television, in publishing of books. We're now going to publish our 150th book. So we have a lot of protocols, we call them, with religious organizations, with the church, with dioceses and archdioceses for the conservation of their religious heritage, their artistic treasures, also their relics. And we have these agreements to fundraise for these different causes as well as humanitarian causes. We have helped raise, with the patronage of His Royal Highness the Duke of Braganza and His Royal Orders, over 300,000 euros to support orphanages, the House of the Little Children in São Tomé e Príncipe, which is in sub-Saharan Africa. And these are two islands that were formerly Portuguese, and where the social services there have basically been greatly supported by our fundraising effort. Our fundraising campaigns go directly from our protocol partners to the entity that is requesting these funds that are in need. We don't have the funds come in through the foundation because they're not destined for us anyway. So we do account for them, and we've spent raised during this during the pandemic and also during the war in the Ukraine over 200,000 euros to support the people who are suffering there as well. Mm-hmm. So the foundation today not only carries on John Hafford's legacy of promoting Fatima, but it is doing different things for the preservation of Catholicism in Portugal and in Europe. By preserving its historic heritage and treasures, but also in the promotion of peace, which is, of course, part of the message of Fatima.
Well, there's a great struggle within the European Union right now, about whether or not we're going to be, or the Union is going to be Catholic or not, or is the Catholic heritage of Europe going to even be part of the history? And there are so many that we see in power in Europe, within the European Union countries, that want to almost ignore, if not eradicate, the history, the Catholic history, Christian history, of the nations that form this. And this is a great counter to it, I believe.
Well, that's also part of our mission because, in fact, the demoralization of Europe and the world is, it seems to be an agenda. And we can see that the morals, especially the religious and cultural traditional morals of Christian Europe, are being challenged and are, in a sense, being considered extremist positions. And in some countries, they're looking to outlaw some of the fundamental things that in the morals of Christian and Catholic teaching and make them illegal. And that is that's going to be the greatest challenge for the 21st century. And as Sister Lucia said, that following the end of the cycle of the Fatima prophecy, that the new challenge for Catholics would be to re-evangelize. And we didn't understand back in 1992 when we spoke to her what she really meant by this. But now we can see that we're needing, and I see this on a parish level here in Portugal, where a lot of the dioceses who have a lack of vocations, and subsequently they have a shortage of parish priests, have now reached agreements with missionary societies, missionary orders, who for centuries have been evangelizing and working in third world countries, basically. And now they are in parishes in Portugal doing the exact same work that they were doing, sort of like grade one level catechesis in Portugal, which is really amazing.
We brought them the faith, and they're bringing the faith.
And they're
back.
Bringing it back.
And it's not just here in Europe, because it's also in North America. Of course, you're originally from Canada.
That's right.
You know, of course, we're American. We're in the United States. And I mean, I look at Canada seems to be like ahead of us in demolishing the faith. And the U.S. is right behind, you know, and it's really a shame because especially with the pioneer attitude of North Americans, it's a frustrating thing. And when you look at how the faith really molded, you know, Canadian society, American society, and it's kind of like you just can't even accept it as being part of the foundation anymore in this new thinking. And of course, you know, Europe, it's happening. Maybe you're a few steps ahead of us. And or behind, I get in reality, I say ahead of us, but it's horrible. So you know, I think we're at a point now where, you know, we really have to stand up for our faith and who we are. And I think the work of the foundation is just that, is to stand up for it.
Well, we have to, first of all, re-educate people to see that Catholicism is not a threat, and that Catholicism in anything has contributed to the greater good of society.
Sure.
All throughout the centuries. I mean, we wouldn't have hospitals if it wasn't for the church.
Education,
we wouldn't have
education.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything. Yeah.
So the fact that Catholicism was behind all of these things that now many government groups are claiming the church is against, and the church, well, you have to take a look, and in this sense, the Oriana Historical Cultural Foundation, as its full name is attempting to educate people in a sense that these things, this religious heritage, these treasures that we have, are at the beginning of our social existence as nations.
Well, exactly. Exactly. And you made a comment that we're not to, you know, like take it over. No, we are. We must, okay, or take it back, and respectfully, okay, because the cultural things that are being, you know, introduced are, I mean, you know, they're so contrary to our faith and contrary to our morals and all of that. So you're either going to accept that or you're going to deny that, one or the other. And we can't, you know, yes, will we offend? I'm sure to some degree you do offend those who basically are offending us every day with their, you know, with this culture that where we have to, you know, back off from the foundations that formed us.
Well, we have to, I think, more than anything, educate.
Yes.
And catechism is very important, and even social catechism, historic catechism,
yes,
is very important.
Yes.
So we have to educate people and society today on the values that these fundamental Christian and Catholic positions had, and how they were important all throughout the centuries, and how maintaining them is important. So we're not, in essence, I think, fighting anything. I think the great error here is to see that there is a war. A war, of course, Satan always takes advantage of these controversies to try and get the upper hand.
The divider.
But I don't see it as that. I see the problem here is, you know, people ask me, and on television I always say, well, you know, what is the greatest or the most popular, most venerated saint in Europe today or in the world? And you know, this saint has altars basically erected in every home. And people say, well, you know, it's Our Lady Fatima or Padre Pio or whatever. And I say in Portuguese, no, it's Santa Ignorancia.
Ignorancia, yes.
Holy ignorance has taken over our lives and our homes and our society.
Yeah, yes.
And the fact that certain polls, you know, have asked people, for example, you know, where does chocolate milk come from? And they say, well, it's from a chocolate cow. You know, that if you have anybody in the world answering that, then you've got a problem.
Well, I think, you know, we see it in the political realm, you know, in the United States, for example, you know, when we graduated from grammar school, we had to take a civics test.
Of course.
The civics test told you everything about how the structure of government was. You had to pass that, you know. They've eliminated that. Okay.
You don't know the basics.
Yeah, now and again, in Canada, I can't quite speak to our origins are somewhat different, although very similar. And I think, you know, I hear the same things there, where the foundings of you know, the nation that did have that Christian, you know, foundation, is just ignored. And, you know, and it's so it allows the revisionists to redefine.
Absolutely.
Okay, because the unfortunately, the children are not taught that in the schools, and sadly not in their homes as they should be, you know. So it is that lack of catechesis. Yep. The same thing when it comes to promoting like the message of Fatima. Well, you know, years back when Mr. Hafford and the other early pioneers of the Blue Army, which was the precursor of course of the World Apostle of Fatima, would present the request of Our Lady, you know, through the pledge of Sister Lucia, we're at the Blue Army pledge, you know, which was, you know, the worked out with Sister Lucia. But at those points, you'd say to some, okay, pray the rosary. Now, some would say, okay, I'm not exactly sure of the rosary, but how is it? Okay, well, it's the creed, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be, in this order, da da da. And people say, oh, okay, because they knew the prayers, okay?
Exactly.
Now,
yeah.
You know, how do you say the Hail Mary? You know, how, you know, this is how we've degenerated away from, you know, people don't even know the basics of the prayers.
Absolutely.
To apply them into the format of a rosary.
Absolutely. And the proof of that is even in on a parish level, where recently here throughout Portugal, you celebrate a Hail Mary Sunday, a Hail Mary or an Our Father Sunday.
Okay.
And I was amazed to see that what this entailed was the fact that they were giving out diplomas, first of all, to the children who had finally learned their basics, Our Father and Hail Mary, and they got a diploma. And then the whole evangelical, I'd say the sermon or the homily of that whole Sunday was to explain to the general parishioners those prayers.
Yeah.
Because many of them didn't know them.
Yes, yes. Well,
which is,
but at least you're doing something to bring it back.
Exactly.
And there are efforts
working, the church is working for that. Yeah.
Well, in the United States, of course, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has initiated this Eucharistic revival for this year. And we're a big part of it. We're very much, our Pilgrim Virgin statue will be traveling throughout the U.S. or four routes. The Congress will be held in Indianapolis, which of course is, you know, centrally located. And we have four pilgrimages, one from the West Coast, one from the north of Minnesota, one coming up from Texas, and one we call the Seton Route, which is coming from Connecticut into Indianapolis. We're participating in that because, of course, our shrine is located in New Jersey, and our Pilgrim Virgin statue will be coming along doing our Night of Love, which is our all-night vigil program, which is the reprint of a book by Mr. Hafford,
right.
Night of Love, from
That's
many
right.
years ago. And, you know, so, and it's great, and I'm so happy this is being done, because these alarming statistics are out there where it says it's possible that 70% of nominal Catholics do not believe in the real presence in the Blessed Sacrament. Well, if you don't believe in that, you're not Catholic. I mean, to be honest. So yes, basic catechesis is really the key to promoting the work of our apostolate, to the work of the foundation. You know, because, you know, we are these, I, you know, of course, we, you know, that nobody wants to use that term, the church militant, which we are. Okay, mm-hmm. We are. That's who we are, mm-hmm. You know, is to be out there where the church triumphant in heaven, militant on earth, and suffering in purgatory. And that's who we are. We have to be fighting here if we want to grant, if we want to move up to the other categories.
Absolutely.
At some point. And really, but it's the basic belief in the real presence. It's a belief in the intercessory power, really, of Our Lady. And that's mm-hmm. where the rosary is so powerful and so strong and necessary. And, I applaud the work of the foundation, which has always really worked in union with mm-hmm. our apostolate. And again, for those many, many years, I recall attending those banquets when I was, you know, earlier days coming here as a young man. And they were entertaining also. But that's good, because in an entertaining way, people could learn the history, you know. And
absolutely.
I think that's, you have to know your past to appreciate your present and to go into the future.
Absolutely. And Fatima has a trifold mission. A lot of people don't understand that, because Fatima has a mission or a calling for the laity, for the consecrated, and also for the Pope.
Yes.
Pope is specifically mentioned and has a mission in this trilogy. And a lot of the times we criticize the Pope and we attack the Pope over different issues and different, new policies and things that are proposed. But what Sister Lucia said to me, and this actually touched me, was the fact that I asked her, what was the greatest message for the world today? And she said, he that is not with the Pope is not with God.
That's
and
right.
He who wants to be with God has to be with the Pope.
Absolutely.
So she said, he is the person that most represents him, and we must pray for him.
Oh, without question. And that's the whole point of the praying for him, or praying for anything or anyone, because prayer moves mountains, prayer changes hearts.
Absolutely. Okay.
So hearts of politicians, the hearts of people in the clergy, including the Holy Father, down to us, we pray for the conversion of sinners, which we all are.
Absolutely.
We are all sinners.
Absolutely.
And so we don't just say, well, I don't like that guy in office, so I'm not. We better pray for him even more so.
Yeah,
if he or she is doing something
absolutely.
That's contrary. Because, you know, in every form of representative government, to a greater or lesser degree, you know, we are responsible for who comes
absolutely.
Into office. Now,
absolutely.
You know, yes, there's manipulation and there's things like that, but we certainly have to be always willing to understand that our function, we are a blue army of prayer, an army on its knees. That's how it was started out
mm-hmm.
at first. An
that's
army
right.
on its knees, praying,
that's
because
right.
we know we have no power in reality that God doesn't grant us. If we reach souls, it's because God granted that grace for us to do so. Okay.
Absolutely.
If a just nation wins a war, because God grants that to happen for the overall good, or maybe sometimes fail for the overall good too.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. So I think that's what we have to understand, who we are. We're consecrated to Our Lady. I mean, that's the most beautiful part about it. And we go forward. So Carlos, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you for
it's always
having
a pleasure
me.
To talk to you and get your insights as to what's happening on this side of the pond, I guess, as well as all over the world. And I appreciate our association for many years and looking forward to it. So thank you for joining us on the show today. Again, and I ask that you subscribe to this podcast. God bless you.